The value of the Word, or the value of the Bible. What is the Bible? Well, the Bible is a book. What kind of a book? It's not necessarily a book of science or a book of history. Though when the Bible touches history, why, it's correct and it's historically correct. Primarily, the Bible is a book about a person. And this person is the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2, God, who at different times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. God has spoken unto us these days through his Son. The Bible is a book whereby God has spoken to man through Jesus Christ. Why did God give us the Bible? Well, one of the reasons is to enable us to walk in his counsel and his will. It's a special revelation that man couldn't conceive in any other way. And man must have the Holy Spirit of God to understand this particular. What is unique about the Bible? There are several things that's unique. One is that God is making a bid for man. The various religions of the world, man is making a bid for God. Man is trying to see what he can do to get right with God. The Bible is God making a bid for man. Another unique point about the Bible is that it gives the truth. Heroes of the Bible have their faults revealed as well as their good points. So often in writing, just the good points is given about people. Another unique point is that it's all or nothing concept. All or nothing. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's all or nothing. That's hard for our minds. We lack a halfway point. And we think of shadowy areas. I'd like for you to remember this morning three things regarding the Bible and how it can be used and help us as individuals. If you'll promise me that you'll remember those things, well, we'll break up right away and go have some coffee. I suppose we'll be having coffee after this. One is that that salvation comes through knowing the Word of God. Salvation comes through knowing the Word of God. Let's say that in unison. Ready?
Salvation comes through knowing the Word of God.
Number two is that the Bible provides spiritual growth. Let's say that. The Bible provides spiritual growth. Number three is, through the Bible we help others. Let's say that.
Through the Bible we help others.
Now that you have your Sunday school class, you can write those down. But I will take a little more time. Give you some verses to fill in. Salvation comes through the Word. Salvation comes through the message. The message that comes from God. The message is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We hear the message of Jesus. We hear the message that He died on the cross for our sins. I heard this message for a long time. I was born and reared in Alabama. I'd gone to church ever since I was a small boy. My mother was a believer. My father was a good man. And he reared us right. But he wasn't converted until he was 50 years old. In fact, that's my age now. I'll be 50 this fall. November. 10th day of November, in case you want to make a note of that. That's not inspired. That's just... The doctors informed us that my mother wouldn't live. And so over the years, over the rather months, in the year of fall of 1940, while we watched her wither away and die. Through this experience as a young man of 20 years old, I began to think seriously. I thought, one of these days they're going to put old John, you know, in a box. Maybe they'll have a service and they'll eulogize me, I hope, say some nice things, you know, mostly untrue. But I hope they would say it. But what about the me? The real me? The part that thinks? The part that loves and hates and feels and loses his temper, raises his voice when he shouldn't say so, when he shouldn't, particularly to the children when I'm tired. Big children sometimes too. Sometimes fellows and gals that work with, that fellow that sins, what about him? And after she passed away, I got her Bible and began to read. And I realized that through those weeks, that Jesus Christ was not just a historical figure. He was not just a person that we recognize his birthday at Christmas. Not just a person that was supposed to have been crucified on the time we recognize as Good Friday and rose again on Easter. But he was the Savior of the world. I never doubted that, being born and reared in a Bible Belt. I never doubted that. But I had never made application to my heart. I had never committed my life to Jesus Christ. It says in Luke 9:62, if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. I put my hand to the plow. I have a little garden down here, wherever directions are down here. There's about 4 or 5 loads of topsoil in Colorado, and I think I have about 2 of them, and I have a little garden down here. And I have a little tractor. It's not the latest vintage the fellows let me use, and I've made me some plows out of, you know, farmer's leftovers. And they don't work very well. And I'm trying to raise a little garden, of course, just for fun. And I look back to see if I'm cultivating the corn, and I rip up quite a bit of it. I was doing that some time ago, and I realized that that's what that verse means. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back can't plow a straight furrow, even if you had modern equipment. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And the Lord laid it on my heart to commit my life to Jesus Christ, and by his grace, I've never looked back. I was converted. I was converted through the Word of God. I was converted through the message. I was converted through reading the Bible and reading the pages and coming to grips with the fact that I could be born again of the Spirit of God, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Perhaps it was my childhood, I don't know. Perhaps it was the verses. Perhaps it was John 3:16. I really am thrilled that I was reared in a home, a godly home as far as my mother was concerned. And maybe that is what caused me to turn. Anyway, I turned and I was saved. Why does a person need to be saved? Why does a person need to be converted? Why does a person need to make this change? Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, John 3. Nicodemus was an educated man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus and he said, Master, we know that no man can do what you're doing except God be with him. And the Lord says, Nicodemus, what you need is to be born again. Nicodemus says, Sir, this is Crawford translation here. So that's a little hard to understand how a person can be born again. I'm already born. Can I be born again? Enter again into my mother and be born? No. The Lord said, I'm not talking about that type of birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. And Nicodemus didn't understand it. Here again, I'm going off in Crawford translation, paraphrasing. The Lord, Nicodemus, as educated as you are, Nicodemus, as long as you've been trying to rework yourself and to teach your people, as much as you've tried, well, you've tried everything, Nicodemus. You've tried all kind of programs. You've tried taking from the rich and giving to the poor. You've tried bulldozing down the huts and the hovels and building them new houses. And 30 years later, you find that the new houses, all their brick huts and hovels now. You've tried everything to make this fellow over. You've tried educational programs. You are surprised, Nicodemus, when I say you can't do it. You haven't done it. You've never known it, but you can't do it, Nicodemus. You got to start all over. In fact, you have to be born again. Again. And then Marcus, you have to be born again. You can't remake the old man. You have to be born again. Born again, a rebirth of the Spirit of God. And the Lord said, Nicodemus, you marvel. Marvel not. Don't be so surprised when I tell you, you can't work him over. You can't rebuild him. He has to be born again. And that comes from the Word. We're saved. We're made over. We're born again through this message of Jesus. It comes from this book. God speaking to us, and we have an entirely new start. Why? It's because man is a sinner. In Genesis 6:5, the Lord said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great and evil, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Incurably wicked, one translation says. Who can know it? Romans 3:22-23. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of his glory. What is his glory? Rather, I should have said, who is his glory? His glory is Jesus Christ. Every person has sinned and come short of Jesus. We haven't been responsible, like Adolf Hitler, for murdering 6 million Jews, 6 million people. We haven't gone to that depth. We haven't gone to the depths that so many people have gone to, perhaps, but we've come short. We've come short. Therefore, it's necessary that we be converted, that we accept Christ as our Savior. And this comes through the Word. Point number two, through the Bible, provides spiritual growth. The same Holy Spirit that takes the message from the Bible, takes a message from the Word, is the same Holy Spirit that uses this Word to mold our life. You see, most of the Bible, particularly the New Testament rather, is given to Christians. Most of it is given on how to act in the church and out of the church, and husband and wife, and employer, employee, and father, son, son, father, rearing children, how to act, how to live, and how to love. We start off as a new Christian, 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Since, or if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And when we become Christians, we're indwelt by Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Jesus is living in me. But you know, it's difficult for me to understand how Jesus lives in me. It's difficult for me to grasp, to get hold of. But it's not difficult for me to get hold of the book and understand the book. You see, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So it's through the Word that we are built up. It's through the Word that we grow. The same one whereby we're saved, Revelation 19:13, and his name is called the Word of God, is the one whereby we grow. Jesus Christ is God's perfect living expression. The Word of God is God's perfect written expression. Well, how do we grow? What effect do we have? Does it have? Well, one of the things that we want today is to be happy. Right? Would you like to be happy? Would you? Anybody would like to be happy, do this way. Anybody don't want to be happy, do this way. Anybody rather not vote, do this way. Sure. Highest paid people in the world are entertainers. We pay them. Even on taxes on the goods that we buy on television, if nothing else. We really want to be happy. We really want the joy down in our hearts and our souls. Happiness is a condition of the heart. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me a joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word caused happiness. Remember Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Jesus visited their home quite a bit. Martha evidently was the head of the house. Evidently these two sisters and brother lived together as a home. In this particular time, Jesus was coming for dinner. Martha was quite concerned about the lunch or the dinner, and she knew the Lord real well. He spoke freely. She said, Lord, doesn't it make any difference to you that my sister has left me to do all the serving by myself? And the Lord saw that she had a particular problem. And Phillips renders this. The Lord talking to Martha. Martha, my dear, thou art excited about many things. Only a few things are really needed, maybe only one. And Mary has chosen that one thing. Please don't drag her away from it. Martha, you're excited. Martha, you're anxious. Right now, Martha, it's revealed in the place setting where the place, the table, you know, the plate is here, and the napkins are here, and the fork, and all this kind of stuff. J-Boy, my little 8.5-year-old, we were in a rather nice restaurant and had more than just the usual pieces we have at our house. And he says, where shall I start? Okay? And I said, well, son, I heard that you start from the outside in. So the salad here, and the water here, and, you know. It's quite a bit of work to set up, you know, fancy table. And it's all right. I love it. A lot of fun. Get all your colors right. Make it a little more appetizing. You know, sometimes when I was in the Navy, I'm sure you military men and ex-military men realize that, I don't know why it is, but most of the fellas they put in food service, call it the galley, you know, in food service in the military have a gift of fouling up food. It couldn't be that bad when you bring it in through the commissary, you know. But they have a gift, and then they cultivate this gift. And you and I are the best. Well, Jesus was trying to tell her, Martha, today it's setting the table. Tomorrow will be something else. Because your problem is not setting the table. And your problem, Martha, is not that Mary should give you a hand. Why, I'm sure Martha could set several tables and put on several dinners, maybe at one time. She'd been doing it. She was a very hospitable woman. But there was something bothering her. And so Jesus hit right at the heart of that. Now listen to this, folks. Listen, this has helped me. Jesus Christ said, only a few things are really needed. That's what he said now. Maybe only one. What was that one thing? Well, he said Mary has chosen it. To sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. To hear him say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To hear him say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. To hear him say, after we've sinned, to say I love you. We have a little song we sing at our table. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, but it makes him very sad. We have quite a time at our devotions. You'd think we were part Pentecostal. We would carry on around the table with our little children and whoever's there, and with our hoorahs and hallelujahs and singing and marching. But we have a great devotion at our singing, praying, and reading. Jesus loves us all the time. And Mary wanted to hear that. Mary wanted to bask in his fellowship, in his presence, in his love, and hear those marvelous things. I don't know. That little word, I love you. I go over that with my children all the time. I love you. I have two little kitties. eight and a half and four and a half. I love you. I love you. I go over there with my wife. I love you. With my staff, I put in the Lord. Not that I don't just love them, but it sounds better if I tell them I love them in the Lord. Joy. Joy comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. What else will the Bible do in regard to helping us grow? We find in Psalm 119:130, it'll give him life. Thy word was a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We can see where we're going. Some time ago, I heard out of a country story, this farm boy back home was going to see his girlfriend, and he had a ladder. When he met one of the neighbors, and he said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to court, and I'm going to see my girlfriend." And this farmer, chiding him a bit, and he says, "Oh," he says, "with a lantern?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Boy," he says, "I never took a lantern," he says, "when I went home." And the old farm boy says, "Yes, sir, but just look what you got." We really need light for our way, whether it's court or not. We need a lot of light there, of course. It's a lamp unto our path. It gives us guidance in everything. What else will the word do? It'll give us victory. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. You won't believe this, but I've forgotten that verse. Help me start it off.
Thy word prepared.
How did it start?
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse.
That's right. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, it doesn't say that we won't sin. It says we might not sin. It says when the word of God is hid in our heart, it gives us a chance that we won't sin. These last few months, I've been tempted to sin on two or three points. And I'm amazed at how the word of God has helped me. And the word of God has spoken to my heart. Of course, this word is words that I have memorized, you see. And when we're tempted, the word can give us direction. The word can give us victory. And when we do slip, when we do sin, 1 John 1:9, let's quote it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Third point is that it's through the word that we can help someone else. Here we start all over again, using the same thoughts, the same Bible whereby we were helped. Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. When you give your testimony, when you witness to someone, try to use some Bible. The sower soweth the word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. First Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Use the word. A conference is a marvelous place to get started. Conference is a marvelous place to keep going. Conference is a marvelous place to review. Most of us live busy lives. We don't have, we don't think we do, very many minutes in a day to start new projects. This week, you'll have an entire week to get really started in memorizing Scripture, in studying the Bible, in a quiet time or a devotional plan, in a reading time. You can get a good start in 5 or 6 days. using the Word of God, using the Bible in your own life, in our own lives, in the lives of others. You see, God has called every Christian to be fruitful. God has called every Christian to be a minister. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20. To witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. You as a believer, you as a Christian, are an ambassador for Christ. We find in Genesis, the first chapter, where God said, be fruitful and multiply, speaking of replenishing the earth. We find that in all the plants that he gave, he says the seed is in the fruit. Doss Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, used to share with us, like a peach tree. We say, well, a peach tree is a tree whereby we can have the fruit, which is peaches. But in each piece of fruit, there is the seed of reproduction. There is a potential another peach tree. We do it a little bit different now with grafting and so on. But basically, that's the way you keep things going. The seed is in the fruit. And you and I are fruit of the Holy Spirit when we were converted, when we were saved. And it's through us that other people are to be reached. We are ambassadors for Christ. To reach these other people, we must be motivated. We must be turned on. We must be in tune. And there's nothing that keeps me going like the Word of God. We had a Salvation Army here this last week, nationwide seminar on evangelism. Some of the finest people in the Salvation Army. And one of the fellows was sharing with me one of their problems. One of the problems, he says, that we get in here and way into the evening hours, we pray and sing and give testimonies and pray and sing and give testimonies and pray and sing and give testimonies, and we go home and a week later, we need to go somewhere and pray and sing and give testimonies to get ourselves worked up. When you leave here, you'll be excited, you'll be thrilled, you'll be happy. But a feeling won't keep you going. Psalm 96:2 in living Psalms and Proverbs says, sing out his praises, bless his name, each day tell someone that he saves. That keeps me going. The boy gave me that in January this year. I thought, boy, I'm here in Glen Eyre, and I work with Christians all the time, some wonderful people, but I just don't have the opportunity to witness and meet with the saved. That verse doesn't say that. That verse says, sing out his praises, bless his name. Each day tell someone that he saves. And folks, I think I have given my personal testimony and given out more tracts since January of this year, 1969, than I have the three previous 4 years that I have been here. Joe told me this was fresh water. And this message is getting a little dry, so I'll let it. You see, there are no excuses. But getting into a meeting doesn't do this for me. Alone. Oh, I love meeting. I love prayer meeting. I love the fellowship and warmth of the path. But down the road, it's the integrity that God has put in my heart to obey the Word of God. And that, I would say, is the reason I keep going. So I praise God that years ago, someone shared with me that the Word of God, that it's through the Word that we're saved. Let's say that together. It's through the Word that we're saved. It's through the Word that we grow. It's through the Word that we grow. It's through the Word that we help others.
It's through the Word that we help others.
Let's go again.
It's through the Word that we're saved.
It's through the Word that we grow.
It's through the Word that we help others.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for the motivation that you put in each of our hearts by talking to us, communicating with us, encouraging us through your wonderful word. I thank you, Father, for these beloved ones who've come this far, made this expenditure, all of this effort, all of the planning, and the prayers that are necessary for all of us to be right here at this particular time. Lord, I pray that you'll meet the need of every heart, that you'll reward them, everyone, over and above the effort that's put forth. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.